RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Speak Up for Women have written an open letter to the Minister of Justice. And this is around the issue of the current Law Commission issues discussion paper. And we thought we'd get Suzanne Levy of Speak Up for Women back on RCR to tell us about this and maybe some other things as well. Suzanne, good to have you back. I hope you're well.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Yeah, same to you. Yeah.
Okay, this open letter, tell us about it, please.
Okay, so the Law Commission have last year launched a review into the what they've called it as a review of the Protections in the Human Rights Act 1993 for people who are transgender, people who are non-binary, and people with innate variations of sex characteristics, which is what we, you know, some people might call intersex. So this is to look at whether or not there are, you know, there's undue discrimination against transgender people and whether our Human Rights Act is giving those people the protection that they need and that they deserve. So it doesn't have to infringe on rights of other people, but the way this paper's been written, and it's an issues paper, it's for discussion, it's for people to submit on and that kind of thing. But we believe that it's reaching over far too much into changing the meaning of things like sex. So we've written this this letter to Paul Goldsmith, Minister for Justice, asking for him to ensure that nothing that this Law Commission issues paper looks at does in fact infringe on those sex-based protections in the Human Rights Act. To give a little bit of background on the way the Human Rights Act works, it's an anti-discrimination act. So it's the thing that says that if you provide accommodation or employment or education or goods and services, you can't choose who you give those services to. So you can't exclude someone from a service or a job or or accommodation or any of those things. But obviously there are a whole lot of exceptions to that. So, you know, it's not a blanket thing that says you must let everybody go to the school, you must let everybody do this job. There are obviously...
Or rent your house to the mongrel mob.
Yeah, there's all sorts of restrictions as well. So they say, you know, basically if you're going to provide a good or service, you have to, that's publicly available, then you need to make it available to everybody. And then it goes about listing the exceptions to that. So some interesting ones that kind of, they all kind of make sense. So one of them is that you're allowed, if you're a travel agent or travel service, you're allowed to provide a travel service for people based on their age, which is things like Contiki tours.
Yeah.
Or an over 65 travel tour.
A cruise, you know? So, like my mother
yeah,
went
that,
on.
Yeah, that kind yeah. of thing. So, and we all understand why. You know, so essentially that's saying you're providing this cruise, it's open to the public, but you're allowed to say it's only open to people over 65 or under 35 or whichever. Sadly, I'm getting closer to the over 65 than the under 35 now.
So tell me about it.
Yeah, so not too close, but close enough. So, you know, it's sort of things like that. Another interesting one is the insurance. Insurers are allowed to offer different pricing based on the sex of the person that's applying for the insurance.
That'd be a risk-based assessment, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so they're allowed to do things like that. And the important ones to us are that you're allowed to, for privacy and dignity, you're allowed to provide single-sex changing and bathroom facilities, or you're allowed to run sports that are just for one sex. So there's a lot of protection on the basis of sex in our Human Rights Act.
And so that's already there.
That's already there. That's how we've been running up until now. So back in 2006, there was talk about how transgender people might be protected, and they decided that gender was probably included under sex because you're actually discriminating on the basis that somebody doesn't present as their sex. So if you discriminate against a trans-identifying male, you're discriminating them against them because they don't look like what you think a man should look like. So that's kind of how they do that. Anyway, that's been problematic because it's not clear. It's not clear for women and it's not clear for transgender people either. So this paper is overdue, this Law Commission thing. So we sort of welcome the fact that it was going to be talked about and going to be looked at. But we're looking at it now, and it's just like massive overreach to even consider changing what sex means is terrible for women. It's terrible for most people, actually. I mean, men are given protection under the Act as well. It's not just women. So to sort of, you know, if you look at the Act, we have a whole lot of different grounds for grounds that you can't discriminate against. And they're all tangible. You know, the least tangible would be religion. But even then, it's, you know, you can sort of determine what somebody's religious beliefs are. So, you know, things like sex, marital status, age, race, colour, all sorts of things, but they're all tangible. And so, you know, they're looking at adding something in there that you can't really define. You can't...
Why do you think they would attempt to do it, Suzanne?
Well, that's the thing. You would like to think they would attempt to do it so that people who look a bit different, who are gender non-conforming, are not discriminated against.
Yeah,
so
but is there any proof? Is there any evidence that they are being? I mean, I wouldn't. Would everyday people do that? Is there a need?
Well, who knows? I mean, what do we want to avoid? We want to avoid having a situation where somebody says, no, I don't serve transgender people in my bar. Okay, so that's an extreme case. None of us want that. We don't want somebody being not allowed to play sport because they're transgender. We want to be able to say that a male
depends on what team
exactly what team, but you can't say, well, this soccer club, you know, we have men's and women's teams, but we don't want transgender people here. So there are lots of valid reasons for having good anti-discrimination law. But this is overreach. So we believe it's possible to provide that protection, and we believe most New Zealanders probably don't want transgender people to be discriminated against. But we also believe that most New Zealanders understand that sex is real and it doesn't change, and that they're separate things. And what we would have liked out of this this particular issues paper and this consultation is to look at how you could provide basically gender non-conforming people with protection whilst grounding ourselves in reality and maintaining sex-based rights as well. And we believe it's possible to do both, but we believe that this paper doesn't. So our concern is that a whole lot of decisions have been made already, the around what to do with sex, what to do with gender, and all that kind of stuff, and that women were not consulted early enough, and that, you know, we're suddenly looking at having to protect the meaning of sex in legislation.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And we don't believe that's what this paper was designed to do. It's gone beyond its scope.
So your open letter is up on your website. People can go in there and read that. Another issue that's come up too is police training in this area.
So the open letter is at speakupforwomen.nz/action. You should be able to find it.
Now, police training, what's this about? We had Jonathan Ayling on earlier in the week. He mentioned this, but what's your take?
Well, our take, we wrote to the police minister and Andrew Costa. Our take on it is that it seems to be teaching recruits and officers that, you know, that people with beliefs such as, you know, there are only two genders are somehow breaking the law. You know, they're not. There's no law against it, obviously. But it's the kind of, you're creating a climate where officers are like, well, you know, what's this awful woman saying? What is she, you know, it's massive overreach. It's creating a climate where I think police and the public could feel justified in treating people who say particular things a certain way. And that's what we really have to avoid.
So the concept is what, misgendering is some kind of hate speech towards transgender people?
The example that they used in one of their training things was a cartoon of a sign that said, there are only two genders.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like, well, you know, lock me up now.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, again, it's a group taking the law into their own hands. And in this case, it happens to be the people who enforce the law. So it's particularly worrying. And it sends the message that people who say those things are somehow, firstly, that they're wrong, and secondly, that they're hateful. And that, you know, potentially there's been a crime committed, which is just insane. It seems illegal to me. I think Jonathan has gone into it in detail, you know, from Free Speech Union. It seems to me that it's asking police officers to treat people in a way that's not lawful.
Two things. First of all, it does what you say, but it also is very disrespectful probably to many police recruits and police officers because they're getting force-fed this. And at another level, it's some kind of indoctrination.
Well, it is. It's all of those things. I think, you know, I think most people, regardless of what we're told, most people don't believe you can change sex. So, you know, most of those recruits and officers that are hearing this are going to be hearing something that they don't agree with.
Yeah.
And then, yes, they're told that they must enforce it. So it's confusing. It's forcing a belief on a group. So from an employment point of view, if you're a police officer, you're being asked to make a judgment that you don't agree with and isn't lawful. Yes, and then on top of that, it's indoctrination. So you've got to wonder where is this coming from?
That was going to be my next question to you, Suzanne. How come there is so much, I'm trying to think of a word, pandering, concern? I mean, we should all be concerned for our fellow humans, there's no doubt about that. But
absolutely.
But this gets a free pass every time over everything else. It's weird.
Well, it does. And how's it going to impact any sort of event where women are speaking? And you know, and since the Posey Parker event, things haven't got that much better. There are still events that are shut down or are attempted to be shut down by loud trans rights activists. So it hasn't really got that much better.
The stuff I see about TERFs is quite frankly offensive to me.
Mm.
You know, it really is. You know, if you're going to play this game.
Well, if you look on our website under the letter we sent to Mark Mitchell was on there, and it has another photo, and I'm not going to say what it says on air, but it shows an example of a really unpleasant protest sign that's directed at gender critical women or TERFs. You know, why was this sign not used in the training?
Exactly.
It's certainly an awful lot more hateful than you know, there are only two genders. So, who gets to choose? And that is the whole issue with hate speech, is somebody's hate speech is another person's sensible speech.
Getting back to that open letter before we wind up, Suzanne, what do you expect Goldsmith to do?
What do we expect Goldsmith to do? We'd like to meet with him and talk about it. We at least need him to be aware that this is what the Law Commission are doing. We believe they've gone outside the terms of reference for the consultation. We have other issues with the consultation to do with the, if you do go to submit to it, there are 80 questions. It's very full on. It's not something that your average person on the street is going to be looking at.
Do you think that's by design?
I think it is a little. This isn't select committee. The Law Commission consultation is different than, say, a publicly accessible select committee. Law Commission is trying to write laws that can be that can be enforced and used properly. They've got to be, you know, interpreted correctly and all that kind of stuff. So they're designing the law. But I do think that there are barriers to participation in this process for most people. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for coming on and telling us about that. And
thank you, Paul.
this show never stops, does it, really, at the moment? This train never slows down. It just keeps getting faster. No.
Yeah, and it looks like it's getting better sometimes, and then it swings and yeah. But yeah. For us, this opportunity to review the Human Rights Act and the way that it treats sex is huge, and we're not going to let it go. But we need your help. We need everybody's help.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.